John, what are you doing way over there?
Somebody moved the chair.
Okay. I get caught sometimes and I have my moments, my rabbit trails. John never sits on that side. He sat over here for 20 years. It's like, oh my gosh. So there is a way to get there, but it requires some things. So we've been talking about this now for several months on and off. I do little pieces here and there. We talk about salvation, not just knowing that God is and not just being introduced to Him, but understanding that He is to be Lord and Savior, not a consultant, not somebody you check in on once in a while, not somebody you come and listen to a nice sermon, but you apply His teachings. You know, when the Bible talks about, you know, the areas of your life that you struggle in, that you don't just read it as, well, maybe I'll get there someday, but you say, okay, Lord, this is a standard, I'm coming to it. And lordship, sovereignty, God's ability to rule and reign in your life isn't always brought through the normal salvation processes. We talked about confession and repentance and sovereignty as being a part of this process of true, deep conversion. That was the beginning. Now we're at the end. And I need to just concentrate on this step, because it's part of the ladder of growing and becoming. Calling and purpose is a huge thing. And I could quote you dozens of scripture on this. I mean, the Bible is very clear that God has something for you. When Julie was talking about the open heaven and understanding that you and I are not just, you know, wayfarers kind of straggling and whatever along, but that God has a mission for you. Not only does He know you before you were born, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, you know, before you were formed, I knew you. I think it's Jeremiah 33:3. Anyway, it's in there. And there is an awareness that we have to get our head around, that God is not just somebody that we met somewhere along the way and we're trying to figure Him out. He's always been there. He's always had a calling for your life. He's always had a purpose. The problem is we don't plug in most of the time post-salvation or post-baptism. We get into a church, we hang out for a while, we learn the system, we are able to do whatever we're doing, but our pursuit of His individual calling, His individual gifting, His individual anointing that He wants you to accomplish many times is never fulfilled. When the Bible says in Esther, I didn't put this as down one of the scriptures, but it says that her life, that she was what? Born for such a time as this. That is a calling and purpose. In her little life of 16, 17 years, in her little experience of knowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because she was a Jewish person way back in the day, so she didn't see faith the way we see it, God said, you were born for this one moment where you walked into the king's courtyard, whatever it was, and she defied tradition and standing law to save the people of Israel from being killed. That was her calling and purpose. Now, I'm not saying you have that calling and purpose, but you have a calling and purpose. There's something that God has that you are supposed to do when you're 5, 25, 55. There's something that He is preparing you for, or several some things that He is preparing you for, that we have to get there. But if we never plug into hearing Him, we never figure out what our giftings are, we never figure out all the stuff I've been working on for the last 7 months, it's hard to figure out calling and purpose. Because all the steps are not complete, so you're standing at the end of the journey with all the pieces in the ladder. At least this morning, because those of you who haven't heard all that, you're going to be playing catch up a little bit. One of the things we're trying to do is establish this as a series of ministry objectives that we use in our mentoring program and we use to for people to be able to access online. So if you want to go back and hear the sermon on deliverance, or you want to go back and hear the sermons or the teachings on the Holy Spirit, whatever the steps are, they're going to be loaded into the web page, and you're going to be able to find them all together. So that all 12 are one after another, so you can do the ladder, do the continuum, whatever phrase you want to use, but it's all going to be together, because not only do we have to use it here, but our Kenyan brothers and sisters are looking forward to it. So this thing on calling and purpose is really important, because I just really believe that the traditional church, they do what they do, but they don't understand, and when I teach this, like to the Kenyans, and say, so your pastors know what it is to be called. They know what it is not only to be saved, but to understand the calling on their life to step into a commitment of being a pastor. Evangelist, the same. Yay. Teachers, probably. Yay. What is it that God has for the other 99 people in the church? I had this conversation with my Kenyan pastors last Monday, so I already ran through this once. And the line was dead. Because you can establish a church ministry and set up boards and committees and get your Christian ed going, get your outreach going, and you can have a system of organization and people plug into the system, but many times they don't match the need for the job. Because they haven't developed their gifting, they haven't heard what God wants them to do with their life, so they're volunteering to fill in positions that are open because it's available. But you're not going to get a spiritual outcome from people who are not developed in that way. You're going to get organization, you're going to get structure, you're going to get things to keep people busy, but you're never going to help them understand their moment, their such a time as this. Because it's not in the cards. It's not taught, it's not expected, it's not developed. I'm going to share with you three verses. I have literally like 30 verses where the Bible uses the term calling and purpose in the same, whether new or old. I mean, you can find them. They're all the way through Scripture, but I'll only give you three. Trace, you got them? You going to put them up one at a time or three? One at a time. Okay. Starting with Philippians 1:6. Grab that one quick. How many times you heard this verse? How many times have I quoted this verse to you? Somebody read it out loud.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
The good work he started was your salvation. The good work he started was awakening you from the world and making you aware of his presence, helping you understand your need for a Savior. But the scripture literally says he has something to do with you, and he will keep doing it because he is faithful to complete what he started. I mean, I was great. I was raised in the church. I mean, I haven't been a pastor my whole life. And I know that people get saved and they love the Lord, and I'm not trying to diminish that. But I'm telling you that people sit in pews for years and years and years and never figure out their purpose. And then they get to the end of life and they wonder, did I know enough? Did I study enough? Did I do what I should have done? Did I get there? Is. Because when they're standing at the edge of eternity, now all the questions come in. And I keep telling people, you have 70 mostly to figure out what God wants you to do and get it done. So when you get to that place, he's completed his work in you. He's transformed you inside, your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit. He has raised himself. We reflect him in ourselves because we've been through deliverance. We've been through inner healings. We've been through sufferings. We've been through temptations. And we stood the ground and we are in his image, made like him. Not doing what we've always done and responded to things always. Well, always responded to them. But we figure out that, all right, Lord, you're teaching me patience. You're teaching me gifting. You're teaching me how to hear your voice so I can respond out of your unction in this place instead of how I would respond out of my emotions, out of my fear, out of my trauma, out of my history. The transformation process is part of your calling and purpose. He has called you out of the world, or you wouldn't be sitting here. You have developed some levels of understanding, but are you made in His image? What do you have to sacrifice? What do you have to learn? What do you have to go through? What do you have to develop? What do you have to be delivered from so that you are made in His image? So you see the world as Christ sees it, not as I see it, not as you see it, not as your history has told you to see it, but you begin to see the world the way Jesus sees it. You have love for people you never had it before. You have compassion. You have understanding. You have sympathy. You have ministry gifting that you can help them find out who they are and how they can have what you have. There is this process of transformation, not just sitting in a place and watching and listening, but literally submitting to the teachings and to the process of development so that you look back at your life even last year. How have you changed because of Christ? You should be able to tell me. What has God done in your life this last year that has turned you around, that has released a gifting, that has set you free from a bondage? You should be able to put your finger on it. Because every step you make toward the development of who He is in you, you're going to become someone that has an understanding of your calling and purpose. But if you lock up, you come into a place where you know Christ, but now I'm spectating. I'm coming to church. I'm listening. I like Pastor's sermon last week. I hated that testimony those people were sharing. You know, whatever, when we're looking at church through a critical setup and we're not hearing what God would say, but we're letting our own preferences, our own understanding rule what we take in and what we spend time with, we're limiting the transition, the transformation. Can't tell you how many times I talk to people and they read a certain passage and they don't like the passage because it hits all of their buttons. I mean, I can tell you a simple one. I mean, for years and years and years, anybody reads in the Bible and they read what the Bible says about tithing, it automatically becomes subjective. We run it through our preference. We run it through our history. We run it through the way we run our money. We run it through all these ways. And yet the Bible says, you know, pay the Lord first. Tithe first before you pay a bill. There's a reason He says to do it, and yet people will argue with it all day. Well, do you tithe off the net, or do you tithe off the gross, or do you and we just get in this place where we're debating with Scripture, and then we wonder why we don't understand the lesson of it. We've never learned the lesson of submitting our money to the Lord, of doing what He tells us to do with it first, and then watching how He uses what we are doing to backfill, to provide for, to give you opportunities, to open doors of heaven, to pour in blessings upon you. You never learn the lesson because you want to argue with the Scripture. Why do I say that? Because typically in most churches, 20% of the people tithe, 80% don't. And I don't care the denomination. I don't care. People will argue with you even though it's biblical. And yet they want God's blessing, but they won't submit to His leadership. You can't get both. You can't just have an understanding that God is, but not give Him sovereignty. That's why I say to you guys all the time that if we're going to ever find our calling and purpose, we have to be able to move through the steps of development and do it in a time and a place and a regular consistency so that we can see and experience the difference, not just of coming to church and knowing Him, but being made whole by Him. Because in that being made whole, now you're starting to figure things out. Why do I say that? Now let's go to the next one real quick. I got to give you these three because if I just keep turning away, I won't give them to you, and then there's a mess. Which one are you going to go to? Thessalonians? There it is. That's an abbreviated. I think there's a little more there, but you get that. Somebody read it. So what's he called you to? It's amazing because when I'm talking to pastors, I said to the pastors last week, I had like eight of them or nine of them online, and I said, so you know your calling and purpose. You got eight people in leadership. What is their calling and purpose? Do you know what their gifts are? Do you know what their preferences are? Do you know what they have been through in their life so that these are moments of awakening to possible places where they have been called to do a unique thing? I mean, it's like in the New Testament. We know this because we read it, but we don't apply it. Who is Philip? Philip was not an apostle. Who was he? What? Evangelist. What did he have for children? Three prophets. They weren't pastors, but they had a calling and a purpose. They were in the apostolic time, but they were singled out for a job to do that was not pastoral. Everybody in Scripture has a job to do. Stephen. Everybody loves talking about Stephen. He was a service guy. But while he was serving, what was he doing? It's easy to say ministering, but what kind of ministering? He was healing. He was praying over people and they were being delivered. I mean, he was manifesting the anointing of the Holy Spirit just like Christ while he's serving tables. Your calling and purpose is not about pastoring. We have gotten to the place inside the modern day church where we think every calling has to do with, well, we're all going into ministry. We're all going to be evangelists. We're all going to be pastors. Nope. Every person has an anointing. Every person has a unique place of calling, just like Esther. We read it, but we don't process it. We have to step back and go, okay, Lord, if you had a purpose and you had a calling for Esther, and I say this all the time, Julie and I was talking about this a few years ago, and I remember this. I said, so what did she do the rest of her life? Hang down pretty. I mean, the peak of what she was called for was when she first got married young. Your time and season is for here. You were made for such a time as. So what did she do for the rest of her life? Most of you don't know this, but in Bob Kernuke's book, he wrote a bunch of books on biblical history. And he talks about being in Iran. And there's a statue to this day in Iran. Her mausoleum. To this day, Esther is known in Babylon, wherever it was that she was doing her thing. And she's remembered by the Babylonian or the people that she was with. And there's still a memorial to her to this day. That's what, 3,000-4,000 years? I mean, modern, the Persians, I think it was who they were then, but the point is that group of people is now Muslim, and they don't share this with the world, but their pictures, you get online and look for Esther's statue or Esther's mausoleum, and you can see pictures of it. For 4,000 years, the people of Persia have known about Esther. Because of her such a time as this. Wasn't a pastor. Wasn't an evangelist. And Julie said an orphan. Her uncle raised her. The point is calling and purpose. What is your calling and purpose? Because when you find it, then you start to not just understand who God is and what God is all about more than whatever, but there is a settling inside of you spiritually because you're beginning to understand what you were created for. Outside of that, we reach and we go after and we invest in all kinds of stuff to fill the ache or to fill the need or to keep us busy. But when you finally figure out who it is that you're supposed to be, what it is you're supposed to do, then there's a sense of fulfillment that you cannot even begin to understand. Because your emotional and physical life is coming into alignment with the spiritual part of you. And now you understand not just what you see, but you're starting to tap into what you don't see. I say this to people all the time, why we do the continuum? Because many times your calling can be revealed by your spiritual gifts. You know, it's hard to know, you know. It really is hard to know. When you're sitting around with 25 people and they all got whatever gifting and they all got whatever, what are they supposed to do? But when you sit down with them long enough and they give you a prophetic word, they begin to see when they've never seen before. Now you're going, okay, you're a seer. That narrows down a whole lot of options. So we don't have to talk about, you know, maybe evangelism or miracles or, you know, word of wisdom. I mean, all the other gifts start to push back. And the ones that are clustering and the ones that are in front of us, they begin to narrow the field of possible application toward calling and purpose. Because the gifts are given for you to complete your purpose. God gives you a spiritual gift, healings, miracles, signs and wonders, administration, service. He gives you a specific gift set because it is preparing you for your such a time as this. So if we don't develop the gift set, we're going to spend most of our life hoping, doing what we think we should do, but never really figuring out what it is He wants you to do. And there's a difference. I say this to people all the time. Some guy says, you know, well, I've been volunteering, and you know, back in the day when I was a younger pastor, this guy says, you know, I got all involved in building houses, the Habitat for Humanity, and I'm given hours and hours and hours to that, and it's just I'm building, and we're preparing for the future and people who don't have homes, and he's getting all caught up in the vision of Habitat, which is cool. But I looked at him and I said, is that what you're supposed to do? Or is it something you can do and you feel like you're helping? I don't make a lot of money. Because a lot of times we do what we think God would want us to do, not necessarily do what He's called us to do. And that happens more in the church than you understand. Which is why fear enters in late in life, because we have done what we think God wants, but we're not sure. And then when we realize we don't have lots of options and time is running out, now we're afraid. And I keep saying we've got our whole life, hopefully, to figure out His voice in our head, His gifting that He's given us, His deliverance, so we can operate in love and joy and not with fear and unforgiveness and bitterness, and we can figure out how to be made in His image. And in that transformational process, your calling and purpose begins to rise. You figure out how, you figure out why, and then you figure out when, and yes, you'll figure out what. What is that, the 5 W's? Because it becomes clear as you work the process. Calling and purpose is not a mystery that is unsolvable. It's something that God has placed within man, which is why we seek Him. He placed, Romans says, He placed within inside of every human being a desire to know Him. That's why in every culture there is some God. Because it is wired into mankind's DNA to know Him, to search Him. Every culture. I don't care if it's, you know, Inuits in Alaska, or it's pygmies in Australia, or it's whatever, every culture serves a God because God wired it into our DNA. But He gives you the choice of which God to chase. And you can chase the created, or you can chase the creator. And many times people chase the creator, created, because it's easier than the creator. Calling and purpose is hidden not because he doesn't want you to know, but because as the journey progresses and you make the steps, you begin to gain understanding. You begin to gain confidence. You begin to gain practice, experiential, not just knowing that God is, but you're hearing his voice. You're operating in his gifting, and you're having these encounters with the Holy Spirit because the heaven opens up and God releases a healing or a miracle or prophecy, something to the body so that we can see it at work. We can celebrate what he's done. We can be part of it because we have developed it in us. That's why Saturday was so important. I mean, did we get what we wanted or what we hoped for? No. But we had enough. People were here. There was prayer operating. There was some healing, Adam. There was some touches that people were experiencing. And there was some deliverance, and there was some impartation and prophecy. And the day was very successful because people were using God's gifting. And in my head, it's a win-win. Because every time we do that, we refine. Every time we do that, we are developing a higher understanding. Every time we do that, we're training and we're honing and we're releasing so that people can be confident in their experience because they are hearing and they're stepping toward their calling. If we don't give you a chance to practice what you're hearing and develop your gifting, the calling and purpose become elusive. It's there, but you can't get there because you're not sure what the pieces are. And we can volunteer and do a lot of things that churches do, but it doesn't scratch the eternal itch, which is what it is he wants you to do. Every one of us. That's the other one, Thessalonians. This is the long one. This is a big one. But let me see 24. Yeah, right there. Faithful is he who called you, he will also do it. But then if you keep reading, there's some admonitions and there's some things that are very important. And let me grab the last one really quick, because if I don't, I'll forget it. Yep, I know, you'll get there. If you're writing this down, it's 1 Peter 2. Pretty simple verse. Again, this one, there's a lot here. But the first verse says, "For even he hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." Now, what makes that so difficult that many people don't want to read is you find out all the stuff he struggled with, his suffering, his judgment, his commitment, we don't want to go through the process of learning how to struggle the way he struggled and suffer the way he suffered. When I talk about where we are called and he wants to transform you, he doesn't want to make you who you are and who you think you should be. He's trying to make you into his image. He's trying to temper your temperament. He's trying to infuse the things that will make your witness more effectual. Not soft, not hard, not whatever. He's trying to help you understand that who you are and what the world has created in you is not what he has commanded for you. And this transformation process is part of that calling and purpose, where he wants to come alongside of you and soften your hard edges and strengthen your weak spots and give you knowledge and experiences so that when you encounter things that you've never seen before or you've seen it and you've responded not well, now you've got an opportunity to do it right. Now you have an opportunity to bring Jesus into the conversation. There's so many times where we just do what we do. Somebody says something, we respond out of our history, we respond out of our knowledge, we respond out of our hurts. Being made in the image of Christ and understanding there's times you're going to suffer and you're going to struggle and you need to do it with a smile, there's a whole lot of people that aren't down for that. And there's a lot of suffering and trials we go through because we're not where God wants us to be, and we're going through a bad series. And then, you know, I say this to you all the time, complete a cycle or... And many times we go through the same problem over and over and over because we're struggling in ourselves, not struggling in Him. I need you to think about that a minute. Because all of that doesn't lead you to calling and purpose. It just leads you to more of the same. Calling and purpose is huge, church, because if you get your head on looking down the road and figuring out the pieces and finding and putting in place the steps, and it gives you focus for your development. It gives you reinforcement when you go through deliverance. It gives you reinforcement when you learn how to hear God and hear Him well. Because there are a lot of voices in the world. There are a lot of voices in our heads. And when we learn how to separate the counterfeit and the destructive stuff from the actual God stuff, there is steps that God is bringing you through that you don't repeat a cycle because you can complete it. Because you're operating with His unction, His anointing, His calling, His direction, not just your stuff going over and over and over. Calling and purpose is huge because it gives you a goal. I tell people all the time, you know, and I say this here all the time, you know, I've always felt that most of the time when I preach, I'm not preaching evangelistically. I never will. It's not my job. It's not what I do. I don't push people to make a decision for Christ. I push people to become Christ-like. My job is to keep the carrot in front of you and keep you moving toward your goal. Hopefully, you've already made the decision for Christ by the time you get here. But once you've made the decision, how do you become? Because if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to manifest the way the New Testament church did, there is a way to do it. It's pretty clear. But we have to make the steps. Calling and purpose is not a penalty, but it gives us incentive because we find the value in being successful. And so then we make the next step, and we find, and then we make the next step. And as we make these steps, sometimes over years, I don't mean 20 years, I mean over like 3 to 5 years, your calling, your salvation, your baptism, your mentoring, and your discipling, and your deliverance, and as you're making these steps to begin to form the voice of God in you and to help you begin to understand your gifting, you become successful in the transformation. If you come into church and you don't do all those things, you learn a lot of little truths about the Bible and about God, but you never put them together succinctly to find your purpose. I got 3 things I need to say about calling and purpose. I'm going to wrap it up. It's important that we understand that God is not standing up there playing a silly game and trying to hide from you whatever it is He wants you to do. He's not. He's made it very clear. I showed scripture after scripture. He's faithful. He is just. He wants to bring you to your calling and purpose. He wants you to mimic the life of Christ. I mean, there's so much in the Bible that He says is very important for us. Let me start with this. There's more to life, spiritual life, than knowing Christ. And I've said this over and over. There's a lot of people who, quote unquote, know God. Matthew 7 says, in that day there are those who did healings and miracles. And Jesus says to them, get away from me, I knew you not. It isn't whether we know Him, it's whether we've become like Him. The standard isn't that you know He exists. It gets you into the game. It starts the process. But He is expecting you to plug yourself in to a consistent, directive process where our sharp edges are being filed down, our soft edges are being supported, and we are becoming in His image. And it's a process of deliverance and knowledge and. I get it. But it takes more than just knowing Him. Number 2, the calling begins at salvation, But it develops through a series of events that are tied together so that you can find that progression and you feel. I tell people all the time, you know, people will get saved and they have this rush of emotions. They have this clarity in their inner being. They have this peace that surpasses understanding. But then it fades because life sets in. Habits, behaviors, mindsets become prevalent again. And if we don't continue to pursue Christ, if we don't continue to battle the flesh, if we don't continue to develop, then we get in this place where we know Him, but we're not being made like Him. There is a process of developing that's very intentional, because it's in that process where God begins to reveal to you as you're making each of these steps. I always love doing baptisms. I'm going to tell something I probably shouldn't, but I always love baptisms because there are people that do baptism because mom expects it, because they've been in the church 20 years and I've never done it, so I guess I probably should. There's 100 reasons why people get in the tub, okay? But the ones who really understand it, the ones who have done the internal work, because the Bible says that when we go into the water, when we go under, the old life, the old mindsets, the old habits, the old behaviors, the old life is supposed to go away. And when we come out of the water, we are, quote unquote, a new creature. There are people that come out of the water and they're just wet. And there's people that come out of the water and Jesus, they had an encounter in the tub. We had that experience last week. There was a couple, three encounters in that tub last week. I mean, you should have seen Christian's face when he came out of the water. Charlie's face. You know, Talia's too. But the point is, you can tell when they come up out of the water that they've not just understood the process, but by submitting to it, they have had a change of mind about how we got here, so to speak. The habits, the behaviors, what they focus on. Now it's about God. It's not about, now it's about figuring out what God wants me to do. It's not about going back to my old life and my old habits, my old mindsets, my old vocabulary, my old whatever. They begin to change because it's part of that transformational process that's very measurable. I've been in churches where people have been in the church 15, 20, 30 years and never been in the water. And I just go, wow. How are they doing on their progression? How are they doing on their development? I mean, baptism is one of the first three things that God, you know, talks about. You know, he who is born of the water and of the Spirit, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, there's scripture that he puts out there that these are beginning steps. And everyone who's been saved needs to get in the water. In fact, the Bible even says that, you know, there's something about inheriting the kingdom in John 3, that if we're not baptized in the water and the Spirit, we cannot see the kingdom. So if you've been in church for 50 years and you've never been baptized, it's going to be rough at judgment. I'm not going to say you ain't getting into heaven. I'm saying you are going to be struggling because God's going to have a ton of questions that you don't have answers for. Well, you're in the church. You saw it happening. Why didn't you do it? How many baptisms did you see happen in the church over 50 years and you never submitted to it? I don't know how you answer that. Because it's in Scripture, so you can't say I didn't know. I mean, that's a direct defiance of known Scripture. And yet we want God to bless us. We want Him to give us eternal life. We want Him, we want Him, we want Him. We want that ATM effect, but we don't want to go through the process. Your calling is directly related to the developmental process because it reveals, it begins, especially as you're moving later through the process. You know who God is. You've had an understanding. You're hearing His voice. Your gifts are starting to develop. You're starting to taste the supernatural. You're experiencing things that other people in church had never experienced or in other churches. And it's not a mystery. It's in Scripture that He wants you to know these things. He wants you to experience it, but we have to press in. And number three, really quick, It seems simple when I say this, but as soon as you figure out your calling, whatever that is, you're an evangelist, you're a pastor, you're a word of knowledge person, you're a healer, you're a miracle worker, you're a service person, whatever you have been wired to do and gifted to do, purpose is automatic. Because once you figure out the hard stuff, you already have a preference. Because you're leaning into it. I can't tell you how many times, it's like Joel this last weekend. Joel and I have been talking about healing, him and his mom talking about healing. It's crazy how much we've talked about healing the last couple of years. I mean, it happens sometimes at elders' meetings. It happens in our deliverance stuff. It happens, Joel look at me and go, why aren't we seeing more healing? I mean, it happens all the time. That's what happened last Saturday. If you weren't here, first thing Ryan did, we got all the people that wanted physical healing to come up, and he prayed for one person, and he stopped, and he went, how many people in the house believe that God has given them a calling or an anointing to do healings, physical healings? Like six people went. And it was like, great. Because they have an inkling. They have a curiosity. They're beginning to hear God. We aren't far from finding calling. So the first thing Ryan did, prayed over all those five people. He said, I do healings. Healings happen in my ministry. I'm going to anoint you and pray over you to receive that same anointing. And it's like, game on. Game on. Calling leads to purpose. It's not a mystery. You get to the place where you're starting to figure out his voice, your gifting, you see the gifting starting to manifest. It narrows the field. You don't have to be everything. You only got to be what's in this area. You don't have to manifest every spiritual gifting. You just got to know what it is that he's called you to do. You don't have to chase after tongues. You don't have to chase after prophecy. You only have to do what's in your wheelhouse because that's part of your purpose. So it narrows down everything else. You don't have to read one book on evangelism if you're a healer. And I'm not saying this to be difficult. I'm trying to help you understand calling and purpose are inclusive in each other, but you have to have one to get the other. And it's possible, church. This church is living proof of it. I mean, the prophetic word in the house, the word of knowledge in the house, the deliverance in the house, the wisdom that's in, I mean, there's like 6, 7, 8 gifts that are operating in-house. And every one of the people that are developing are beginning to see their calling that's related to their gifting and starting to understand purpose. We are right on the cusp of birthing new gifting. There is such a press right now. I mean, I had people come up to me and say stuff to me in the last couple weeks that I'm so thankful to the Lord for it. But, you know, Adam comes up to me, can I say this? Adam comes up to me a couple weeks ago. He says, when I'm worshiping and I close my eyes, I see things. What's that mean? That's exactly how he worded it. And I said, I asked him like 3 clarifying questions. I went, bup, 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 whatever they were. And he went, no. He's not hearing anything. He's not, there's no thing. It's just these clouds. All he's seeing is these clouds. I said, hang into it. I said, you're beginning to open the door of a seeing event. Last Sunday, after baptism, all that stuff, he come up to me. Guess what he said to me? The clouds cleared and I saw. Amen. Say it.
I just saw angels.
The clouds cleared and he saw angels. Right, but this is a seeing event that's part of his encouragement that he's moving down the continuum toward calling and purpose. Because God is revealing something new, which is part of his gift set, which is also part of his calling, which is going to bring him to purpose. And he's brave enough to tell people. Every one of us has a calling and a purpose that is uniquely gifted to you. Whether you're a Stephen, or you're a Philip, or you're an Esther, or you're a Jacob, or you're whatever. We all have something that only you can do that God has purposed for you from before he put you in your mother's womb. Why do I say that? 139 Psalm says, before you were born, I placed you in your mother's womb and I apportioned your days, which means everything that you was going to need for what I am sending you, I put it in you. That's why Scripture says your gifts and your calling are irrevocable. He put it in you what he wants from you. You just got to figure it out. Just like that urge to know him is the beginning, Romans, of the process. But figuring out the calling and purpose comes out of time and grade and working the system. Does that help anybody in the room? Okay. I need to quit there.
Two more questions in my mind than before, but figure them out as we go.
We can always do Q&A. I'm never opposed to Q&A. Either here or any other time. We like Q&A. Shall we stand? Lord, you've been so good. You are creating new avenues for people in the congregation. You're developing your word in people. Kathy Ann's testimony about praying over that little caliper and caliper bracket, anointing it, but understanding that the provision you had wasn't for her, but it opened the door for her to find someone. Lord, whenever we bring God into the mix, stuff can happen. Whenever we pause long enough to ask your direction, then you can do something on our behalf. New gifts are beginning to develop. New understandings are beginning to flow in the church. It's so good to see God. Just ask your hand on your people that we would make a commitment to not just know you, but to do the work that you did so that we are known by you. God, you are so many things, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are our healer. You are our provider. There are so many things that you are, but God, you are present. And you have a plan. And you have a purpose for every one of us so that when we reach that point where we are ready to cross over into the great beyond, we can do so with confidence. We can do so with understanding. We can do so with purpose. Because we've accomplished what you've called us to do. God, begin to speak into the people's lives even more, Lord, directing, encouraging, nudging to deepen their relationship, to do the steps that are part of the process, to submit to your leadership and to your lordship, and to settle the question of who it is that sits on the throne. Lord, so that your calling and purpose can be made manifest in everyone that hears this message and everyone that sits in this house. How much more can we do for the purpose of the King? God, I just believe that our calling and purpose is the ultimate way that we honor what you did on the cross. We not just know you, we not just have a history lesson, but we've embraced your lifestyle, we've embraced your anointing, we've embraced your voice, and we are doing, as the scripture says, greater works than these shall you do. Or the scripture says, these signs will follow those who believe. It's all about becoming in the image of Christ.
Last night I had a dream, and it was about sheep shearing, and I told Julie, I just, like, I knew that it went along with Apostle's message, and there's so much, I think there's even a sermon in it, because it's so amazing. But, so this is what I just want to share with you. We are all called to the shepherd like sheep. Your gift to the shepherd is your wool that you didn't pay for. That is his perfect lamb paid for, the first. Are you willing to be sheared? You were called to build the flock. Are you willing to reproduce? What you don't deal with, you will reproduce and feed those you bring to the shepherd. The Holy Spirit is like the dog who tries to keep the sheep moving in the right direction so the flock moves in sync together.